Our scripture is Ephesians chapter 5, where we left off a few weeks ago. Ephesians chapter 5. Today we will be looking at verse 7 down to verse number 14. So if you would take your copy of the Word of God out, if you don't have a copy with you, reach under the chair in front of you and get one so that you can follow. Don't just listen to me. We're going to look at phrases and words that you need to look at as we go through this morning. Ephesians chapter 5. Now, just to get us back into the flow of the text, we're going to read the first 6 verses. But we're going to be dealing with verses 7 down to verse number 14. So with your open Bible and all of God's people together, let's see what the Word of God says. Ephesians 5:1. Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Verse 7. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that has become visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Lord, would you please give us help? Open our eyes, open our understanding, expand our thought processes. Cause us, Lord, to think in the track of Scripture, in the sequence of the Scripture. As Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesian church, help us, Lord, this morning to see these truths for your glory and for our benefit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you remember in weeks past, I talked with you about gifts that God has given to us. The picture here of our hands out and the starburst in the hands, this is not speaking about spiritual gifts. I'm not talking about spiritual gifts. What I'm talking about is common gifts or common grace. Common grace is that which everybody, whether they are saved or lost, is given by the Lord. As the scripture says, as Jesus said, that it rains on the just and the unjust. That's a common mercy, a common gift that God gives to all people. There are things that God gives specifically only to His people. But here we see, as we have tracked through the scripture, that we see some things that God has given us. For instance, God has given us humans the gift of smell. He's given us noses. Remember, we talked a few weeks back about there are things in our text here in chapter 5 in verse number 2 that certain things smell of fragrant offering to the Lord. It smells good. But as we saw all kinds of ugly things here, dirty things, sexual things, evil things, they stink. And we talked about how it's a blessing that God has given us these decipherers called noses, that we can smell good smells and we can smell bad smells. The good smell is there in verse 32, that we're kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. That's a good smell. We talked about also the gift of sound. God has given us ears, and we can hear sounds. We hear good sounds, good things. But he even talks about in the scripture that we just got through reading, certain things we're not supposed to hear, not even supposed to be spoken about and heard amongst God's people. But God has given us ears to hear, ears to decipher, ears to recognize what is good and what is bad. We talked about God has given us the gift of speech. He's given us mouths. He's given us tongues. He's given us throats. He's given us lungs whereby the air comes through our vocal cords and we're able to speak. And we're told here there's some bad speaking that we're not supposed to do. We're not supposed to speak evil. We're not supposed to speak with these things like filthiness, verse 4 of chapter 5, or foolish talk, crude joking. They're out of place. They're not supposed to be used. So we can pervert the things God has given us, like speech. We can pervert it and use it for our purposes and use it for evil. But this morning we're going to look at the fourth thing here that I see in our scripture, and that is the gift of sight. God has given us the gift of sight. He's given us eyes. He's given us optic nerves. He's given us the ability with these eyes connected to our brain to be able to see images. We're able to see things. And the verses that we read, verses 7 down to verse number 14, you see things that you could not decipher if you did not have sight. Look there at the projection. Here are the verses we read just a moment ago. And you're going to see in these verses 10 times the allusion to sight. In verse number 8, it talks about we once were in darkness. That's the absence of light. But now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Verse 9, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Verse 11, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, the absence of light. Verse number 13, but when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. Now, to a blind person that doesn't have sight, it doesn't become visible. They don't have sight. But exposed by the light, it becomes visible. Verse 13. Verse 14. Anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper. Arise from the dead. And Christ will. There's that allusion again to sight. Light. He will shine on you. Let me show you a image that will show a person betwixt two. This young woman, there is darkness, there is light. We see that the darkness is able to affect us greatly. The darkness can grab hold of us. It's speaking of spiritual darkness. And this could be a young man, just as well as a young lady, but for the illustration, I want us to notice this person, this young lady, she is betwixt the two, in the middle of their. There's darkness on one side and light on the other side. Now, I've seen this many times over in the past in ministry, especially with young ladies. Someone has a hold on them. And as pictured here, the thing that is holding her is a someone. It's a young man. And this young man, maybe, is her first young man in her life. And maybe there are experiences that they have participated together that has just deepened that hold he has upon her. That hold that he has upon her is evil. It is wicked. And I'm speaking here in the sexual connotation. It's sad that many young girls who look for love and look for affection and look for someone to care for them that possibly did not have that in her home, or did not have that from a male, her father. But yet this male comes into her life, and this could be a young man with a young lady, vice versa. But when a line is crossed, particularly in a young lady's life with a young man, before they're married, there is a connection there. Not only the physical, sexual connection, but there is an emotional connection with the young lady. Might not be that connection with the young man, but the young lady is different. And a hold of darkness is upon her. Let me mention also, in this realm of darkness, we all have three enemies. These three enemies that we have, the Bible calls them the world, the flesh, and the devil. These three enemies, evil in our lives, the world, that is the world system that is around us. It's not talking about that we're not supposed to love the world or mankind. But when it says in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man has love for the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And it tells us that the things of this world are passing away. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But you might be here this morning and you have in your life a connection to darkness. And that darkness, the world, or the flesh, meaning the things of the flesh that have a hold upon you, sexual things, or other things that deal with fleshly things that are evil. But, of course, we know the devil also is our enemy. So, in these areas of darkness, we are to eschew them. That means that we are to turn from darkness and turn to light. What does the Apostle Paul tell us to do in these verses? Well, I want to point out to you, command. Don't do this. Command. Do this. I want you to notice what the Scriptures say. Let's walk through it in these next few moments. The first thing I want you to see in verse number 7 is the command, do not partner with them. Do you see that in verse number 7? Therefore, after talking about all these wicked things back up there in the verses before, he says, therefore, based upon these verses, do not partner, do not become partners, do not become fellow sharers with them. As I mentioned a moment ago, a young lady and a young man, if they are sexually involved, they have made a choice to partner with one another. Sexual intercourse, sexual sin, the Apostle Paul tells us in the book of Corinthians about a person in the illustration he uses about a man participating sexually with a prostitute. He says, do you not understand that you are partnering the body of Christ, the man, and the other person, the prostitute, you are joining God's body. You are partnering with them. You are entering their body physically. Now, that's not all that he's talking about here when he says don't become partners or fellow sharers with them. But it applies when we get involved with people who we are sexually involved with. That's darkness. There's no light in that. That is sexual sin. And there are ramifications. There are tentacles. There are things that will grab the emotions and will grab the person and will not want to let go. Don't partner with them. Can I just mention here, we just got through with elections. How in the world can a saved person partner politically, vote for, stand with people who hate the things of God, hate life, love death, love abortion, and we could name all kinds of things. I'm not going to partner with these people and put these people in office. That's my soapbox statement this morning. But we're not supposed to partner with wicked people. And every one of us who have a vote. We have a choice. The choice might not be that good. It might be the choice of two evils. You've got to decipher and figure out which is the lesser of the two evils. But don't partner with wicked people. That's what it says in verse 7. The second thing I want you to see here is do walk as children of light. Do walk, verse number 8, verse number 9. Now you see here sight is involved. I, with my eyes, with sight, I can see who's dark, who's in darkness and who's in light. And I'm not going to partner with those in darkness. But I am going to walk as children of light. You see the repetition in verse number 8. He mentions here darkness, light, and light. At one time, you used to be in darkness, the absence of light. But now, present tense. Notice he looks at the past tense. But now, in Christ, you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. Walk in the ways of light. You see, verse number 9 talks about the fruit of light is found in all that is good, right, and true. So you say, well, what is it that I'm supposed to walk in if I walk in light? Everything that's good, everything that's right or righteous, and everything that is true. Walk as children of light. So the first thing is a negative. Do not partner with darkness. Then do walk as children of light. Notice the third thing that he says. Do test. Do test what is pleasing to the Lord. Verse number 10. You might read verse number 10 and misunderstand what it says. This is the way some people read verse number 10 in the ESV. Well, try, do the best you can, try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. That's not what it says. It doesn't say here, make an attempt. It doesn't say here, you make an effort. That's not the word try in verse number 10. The word try in verse number 10 means to test, dokai, mizo, put to the test, or prove what is acceptable or pleasing to the Lord. This is where discernment comes in. The book of 1 John tells us that there are two spirits in the world. There is the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, which one you think is dark? Spirit of error. Which one is light? Spirit of truth. And we are told in 1 John that we are to test or try the spirits. We are to put things to the test of the Word of God. The Word of God is what gives us the ability to discern. Now, Paul said, or whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, if it was Apostle Paul, I kind of lean to, but doesn't matter who it was. It talks about in the book of Hebrews that some people are not able to discern things that they should because they're weak. They have not fed upon strong meat, strong food, but they are carnal in their activities. They're not spiritually strong. And Paul said, when you should have been teaching heavy things, strong meat, you still are going over the oracles of God, the ABCs of the alphabet spiritually. The point is here that you and I are to try or to test or to prove what is acceptable or pleasing to the Lord. Now, a person that is dabbling in darkness or living a life that's not pleasing to the Lord, they're betwixt the two in a sense here if they're a believer, if they're a Christian. And that's what we are saying, that this person in the illustration, for sake of illustration, is a believer and they are fighting sin. They're giving in to sin as believers can do. And this person is to, Paul says here, to walk in a way that is discerning what is pleasing to the Lord, put it to the test, see if what you're doing is right. Is it right? Is it coming up short? Well, notice Paul continues to give these little short do's and don'ts. He tells us in verse number 4, the fourth thing here, in verse number 11, he says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. Do you see that in verse number 11, point A, or the first part of verse number 11? Do not take any part in darkness. But notice the next thing he says in the same verse, here is the opposite. But instead, expose them. This is the fifth thing here. We are to expose those things in darkness. And how do we expose them? The light. We expose them. Now, let's stop just for a second and let's consider. Most of us don't want to do this. Most of us don't want to expose. We don't want to be put in the position. This is pressure. That this is not fun. This is where you want to kind of slink down in your chair, or you want to quietly leave the room, or you wish that you weren't in that position. But sometimes you have to take a stand. And you got to say, now this has gone too far. I've got to say something. I've got to expose this. In other words, shine the light on the situation that is being talked about or being done. This is a command. This is not a choice. It is a command. Of course, it's a choice that we can make. And some people, we fail at exposing the things of darkness. But it's a command. Shouldn't be a choice. We should do it. The Word of God says to do it. Don't take part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. What is it that's called in our government certain kinds of laws that are supposed to disinfect wicked things and dark things? They're called sunshine laws. That means that you bring things out of the back room, politics, politicians, meet in the back room, just like this stimulus bill that was just concocted, $1.7 trillion. Just a few people got into a room and put all that stuff together. Why not bring it out in the light? Why not debate it on the House floor? Why not debate it there in the Senate? Why not bring all that stuff out? But all that stuff's hidden. It's in the darkness. Because people know that if they saw what was really in there, they would reject it. But sunshine laws are those things that mean that you're supposed to not do things in secret in the government, but there's supposed to be light. There should be things exposed by shining the light on them. Notice how this is spoken of there in verses 12, 13, and 14. There are certain things that is shameful even to talk about that they do in secret. Really, that's in the dark. In secret and in the dark is kind of synonymous. I know a person could be in the broad daylight or in a room that has full light. But what we see in the book of John, the Gospel of John, that men hate the light. They love darkness because their deeds are evil. And people won't turn the lights out if there's going to be evil activity or illegal activity. They don't want the light on it. But verse number 13, when anything's exposed by the light, it becomes visible. A spotlight is put on it. And anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, verse 14, the last part of verse 14, this is an Old Testament scripture. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Here's the last thing that He commands us to do. Do awaken yourself and arise. You say it sounds strange here when it says that we're to awake because we're sleeping. And arise from the dead. Well, I'm not dead, am I? When you sleep, it is as it were you and I are dead. Not physically dead, but we are zoned out. When we go to sleep, generally it's in the dark. Generally, there's not light shining upon us. And we all have to have sleep, but it's using this in a spiritual sense. That many of us as believers, we need to shake ourselves. We need to rouse ourselves. We need to get up out of our slumber and our sleep, out of our deadness, so to speak. Get up. Get active. Get dressed. Put your shoes on. Put your boots on. And get at it. You and I, we have a tendency, all of us do, is that we want to slumber and we want to sleep. And that's what God, the Lord Jesus, told us in the New Testament. That we are to be on guard. We are to be alert. We are to be like not the five foolish virgins, but the five virgins in the wedding party who were waiting alert for the announcement of the bridegroom. In 2022, this past year, this most recent year, have you been asleep? Have you been, as it were, dead, inactive, not doing anything? It says that we are to awaken ourselves. I was reading the other day about this lady who It was her job in the city. I think it was in New York City. It was her job every morning with a pea shooter. She was to shoot peas to hit the windows on the second floor apartments to wake up the people to get ready to go to work. She contracted, agreed that she would wake them up, and it had a strange name that she was called what she was doing. But before they had alarm clocks, and they wanted to make sure that they didn't oversleep because they could be in trouble with their boss or they could lose their job. The preaching of the word, the regular coming to the house of God on the Lord's Day, all of this is to help us to be awake, to be alert, to be on guard, to be watching for the coming of the Lord. But yet, there are temptations to stay in the darkness, stay in the slumber, stay in the nap zone. But God says through the Apostle Paul here, and in the Old Testament Scripture, verse 14, wake up. Awake, O sleeper. It's not incumbent upon a woman to come around and shoot a pea at your window to wake you. We are to wake ourselves. We have the responsibility. Awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead. And what is the result in verse 14? And Christ will shine on you. We want Christ to shine on us. Just like this young woman, she is going to now turn from the boyfriend. She's going to turn from these friends that she's had. She's going to turn from the world. She's going to turn from the devil. She's gaining freedom, and her life is in the light. Those things that were wrapped around her of darkness, those chains, those tentacles that was holding her, she's now in the light. Now she can have fellowship with the Lord in the Word of God. She gravitates to the Word of God. And there the Lord's blessings are on her, the light of the Lord. Christ will shine on you. So here we see the contrast of darkness and light. If you don't have sight, you're in the dark all the time. But God has given us sight so that we can discern when it's dark and when it's light. And the same thing is true in a spiritual sense. Oh, child of God, let's walk in the light as He is in the light. And the Lord Jesus will bless and show blessings upon us when His face shines upon us. That's the Old Testament blessing. Oh, that God's blessing might be upon His people and that His face may shine upon us. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your precious word that gives us these instructions, these commands. And oh, may we walk in Your ways, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. The gospel is that Jesus died upon the cross to save sinners. I pray that If you're not a believer, that you will believe upon Him today. Trust the Lord Jesus. Be saved. Turn to Him before it's too late. Well, let's sing this song for 2023. Take my life and let it be. Let's commit ourselves to the Lord. Blessings to you, being here in the house of God on this first Sunday of our new year. The reason why the month is called January, it was named after a god called Janus, J-A-N-A-S, and Janus was a two-faced God. One face was looking back, one face was looking forward. And January, new year, we're looking back to the past year and looking ahead to the new year. May the Lord's blessings be upon you. I want to read this portion from the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 as our benediction. And notice what it says here about light and darkness. Peter says we have a prophetic word that's more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. The Lord Jesus is coming. It could be this year, could be this day. We're looking forward to that coming day of our Lord, the morning star rising in our hearts. Let's bow our heads for just a moment of silence. And in just a few seconds, there'll be the music that starts, that indicates our service is over. I'll be here at the front if I can help anyone or talk to anyone. Please feel free to come by. Thank you.
heart.